Good morning. Today's daf is daf Chaf Aleph, and we are in the midst still of the sugya of what the Gemara had told us was a fascinating and great discussion. It began with Rav Chisda telling Rami Bar Chama, "You weren't nearby, you know, when we discussed Mili Ma'al Yisa, great, great matters." And what's the great matter? The great matter is the question of Zenen of Ezelo Chaser. If one person benefits, but the other person didn't lose, does the one who benefited now have to pay for the fact that he benefited? In other words, the Gemara explains, if Reuven has a courtyard that he does not intend to rent out, he doesn't want to rent it out, it just has this courtyard. Shimon is someone who's looking for a place to sleep. He would pay to sleep in a certain area. If Shimon went in and slept in Reuven's courtyard without telling Reuven about it, without getting permission, and now Reuven finds out the next day, and Reuven says, "Hey, you weren't allowed to be in my courtyard," can Shimon say, "Listen, you didn't lose anything. You weren't about to rent it out anyway. It's not as if I scared off a customer. You weren't going to gain anything. So, you know what? Nothing happened here." Or can Shimon say, can Reuven say on the other hand, "Listen, it's my property. I never gave you permission. You need to pay me for the benefit that you got from my property." And that's the question. Zenen of Ezel lo chaser. Does he have to pay? Or Zenen of Ezel lo chaser? Is he not obligated to pay? So the Gemara now says, Shalach lei, at the very top of Chafal from Adal, Shalach lei Rabbi Abba bar Zavda, Mari bar Mar. Rabbi Abba bar Zavda asked a question to Mari bar Mar. Ba'imi nei Merav Huna. Ask this question of Rav Huna. Hadar bechatzar chaveiro shalom idato. If Shimon lives in Reuven's courtyard without telling Reuven about it, tzarech lahalos lo sachar, does Shimon have to pay to Reuven the rent? Olo, or not, we're talking about a courtyard that Reuven wasn't renting out. Adahachi, so while they were waiting to get the answer back, nachnav shid Rav Huna. Rav Huna passed away. So Amar le Rabba bar Rav Huna. So Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, told Mari bar Rav, "Hachi Amar Abba Mari, this is what my father and teacher Rav Huna said, Mishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav, Eino tzarech lahalos lo sachar, that as we learned yesterday, Reuven didn't lose. Reuven wasn't going to rent it out anyway. So now Reuven says, oh, but had I known, I would have said, no, you had no permission, you need to pay me." We tell him, "Listen, you know, this is already acting like stone. You know, the people of stone never wanted to do anybody a favor, even if it was at no cost to them. But here, you didn't lose. Do the guy a favor, that's it. You know what, he slept there, fine, but you don't have a right to charge rent." Another halacha that Rav Huna taught. V'hasocher bayis mi'Reuven. If I rent a house from Reuven, ma'ala sachar l'Shimon, I pay the rent to Shimon. What? Shimon ma'avidit say, why should Shimon get money off of Reuven's house? I rented the house from Reuven, I should pay Reuven. Answers the Gemara, achi kamar, this is what Rav Huna meant. I rented a house from Reuven, I signed a lease with Reuven. Turns out that it wasn't Reuven's house. It turns out that it's really the house of Shimon. Malolo sachar. So I have to pay Shimon. So one second. If I rented a house from Reuven, having made a lease with Reuven, but the house belongs to Shimon, basically I'm living in Shimon's house without Shimon knowing about it. I thought you just said that if I live in a courtyard without a guy knowing about it, I don't have to pay him. So now I do need to pay him. So Tarti, I don't understand, it's a contradiction. The first halacha was, if I live in Reuven's courtyard without Reuven knowing about it, then when Reuven finds out, even though I would have paid for a hotel otherwise, I don't have to pay Reuven. But then you say, but if I rent a house from Reuven, which is really Shimon's house, that means I'm living in Shimon's house without Shimon knowing about it, because I rented it from Reuven. I need to pay Shimon. We just said, you don't need to pay the person who didn't know that you were sleeping in his house. So the Gemara says, we're talking about the following distinction. Dekai mi la'agra, case number two, is when Shimon would like to rent his house. There's a sign in front of it, it says, house for rent. So now that I sleep in this house without having to deal with Shimon, That's causing him a loss. That's Zenenai benefiting, but he's losing. So then, of course, I need to pay. The first case when Rav Huna said that if I live in somebody else's courtyard without telling that person, I don't need to pay him. It's a lo kaima lo agra. It's referring to a courtyard that's not going to be rented out. It's not standing waiting to be rented out. So since it's not a courtyard that's going to be rented out, so therefore there was no loss to the owner of the courtyard. Sure, there was a gain to me because I was looking otherwise to go to a hotel. But there was no loss to him. And since there was no loss to him, I don't need to pay.
Who's paying you? Who is paying the school?
In which case?
In the house. Renting the house.
He pays to Shimon, the rightful owner.
It's like the Adamai. I need to check it if it's his or his.
It's true. Yeah, I should do my research before I go move into a place.
But the house belongs to Reuven.
No, the house belonged to Shimon.
Turned out.
Oh. It turns out to Shimon, but Reuven was misrepresenting that it was his. And I rented from Reuven, but no. The deal was really with Shimon.
I bought this house from Reuven and belonged to Shimon. I'm going to lose the money and Shimon going
to
take the house.
Sure, that's true.
Pay
the rent. That's it. Pay the rent to the rightful owner of the property. Itmar Nami, we also learned. Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Rav. Rav Chiya, the son of Avin, said the name of Rav. Amila, some say, well, it's Rav Chiya bar Avin said the name of Rav Huna. Hadar b'chatzar chaver shalom idaito. If I live in Reuven's courtyard without informing Reuven, and it's a courtyard that Reuven is not has no intent of renting. It doesn't say for rent outside of it. Ein tzarech la'alos lo sachar. I don't need to pay Reuven because Zenen of Zelo Chaser does not need to pay. But Rav Huna said something else. He said, Asocher bayis mibnei ha'ir. If I rent a house from people of the city, ma'ala sachar labalim. I have to give the money for the house to the real owners of the house. What do you mean, real owners of the house? This is what it means. It turns out that the people from the city had no right to rent it. It really belonged to somebody else. I need to pay them. So one second, sorry, two things. I'm living there without them knowing about it. So why should I pay them? It's, I'm living in somebody's courtyard without them knowing about it. The answer is the Gemara, the same answer. When you have a house that's for rent, and I live in it, that's Zenen of Zechaser. One guy's benefiting, the other guy's losing. He's not getting the rent that he was asking for. So Zenen of Zechaser has to pay. And he has to pay to the real owner, the real Chaser, the guy who's really losing. Hadalo, Kaimala Agra. When did Rav Huna and Rav say that if I live in somebody else's courtyard and he doesn't know about it, I don't need to pay him once he finds out? And he's upset? That's in a courtyard that he wasn't planning to rent anyway. So it's a courtyard he wasn't planning to rent out. Since he wasn't planning to rent it out, there is no loss in the fact that I am using his courtyard without his permission.
Yeah, but it's the same for a house. If he moves into the house, he wasn't planning on renting the house, but he moves in and he squats in the house.
It'd be any property, right? Any property that somebody owns, but he has no plans to monetize, and somebody else comes and takes advantage of that, without him knowing, he can't charge. He can't charge. But it's a very interesting halacha, though. If he were to say, you're not allowed to come in before,
that's it.
Then that guy who came in does have to pay. Even though you said, but you're not charging for the rent. Even so, apparently, this is what Shimon Shkup explains, that there is part of owning property is the right to feel it's my property and no one else is taking advantage of my property. So that is considered a loss. To know that a guy is disobeying my express commands is a loss, even though I'm not planning to rent it out.
No trespassing.
Yeah, if you put up a sign saying no trespassing and then he goes into there, then he would have to pay. But if there is no sign, but there it's not for rent, if people come to me and say I'd like to rent it, I say I'm not interested, I just want to leave it empty. And somebody comes into an empty house that I'm planning to leave empty and he sleeps there, after the fact I can't charge him because he can say You didn't lose anything.
Yes, chassid.
It's about repairs and maintenance.
But that's not your. You're not. There's no loss. You didn't lose by the fact that he used it.
Sure. You used the goods that are in the apartment, so then their useful life goes down.
Let's see. That's going to be the next discussion. But it's not clear that in something like a courtyard, anything goes down in value. Right? You know, the courtyard is the courtyard. Let's see the next case. Maybe there could be a diminishment of value.
Have a right to stay in an empty house.
If you didn't declare.
If the house is not for rent, and the owner of the house is not trying to rent it out, so if a squatter sat there, he can't charge the squatter because the squatter says, you didn't lose, and I gained.
But he has a right to ask him to get the hell out.
Yes. And then if he comes back, then he can charge him. If he comes back, he has to pay. If he tells him you can't come in,
okay.
He tells him he can't come in.
What the Rav said,
yes.
Sometimes we do shortcut through Hatzerot.
Right.
So, Baalei Abinyan, what they do, they say Shetach Prati. And then, but they don't mind that we walk in because they don't want to create Chazakah.
That's also true. Other issues, right?
They're not saying don't walk, but it's my Shetach.
That's right. But if they would say don't walk, then you're not allowed to walk through. Not allowed to walk through. Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Rav Schora said in the name of Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, Hadar b'chatzar chavero, someone who lives in the courtyard of his friend, and it's a courtyard that's not out for rent. Shalom, he died without telling his friend about it. Ein tzarech lalos lo sachar. He doesn't have to pay his friend. And he gave the following explanation. Yishum Shanamar Sha'aya Yukat Sha'ar. Because the Pasuk says that the demons damage the deserted properties. You know why he doesn't have to pay rent? Because it's not just that he gained and the other guy didn't lose, because the other guy wasn't going to rent it out. He helped the other guy. He kept the demons out. The fact that a place is populated keeps the demons from causing damage. It keeps the house from getting haunted and the ghosts breaking the windows. So he helped him out. I'm a Marber of Ashi. A Marber of Ashi, you know, I once saw that demon. Lididi Chazili, I saw that demon called Shaya. Umanaga Kitura, he gores deserted houses like an ox gores. You know, it's bad for the house.
Created one in the movie for the
Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef said a different explanation. You know why the guy who's living in a courtyard without permission, in a courtyard that's not out for rent, it's not trying to be rented out. You know why the guy who lives there doesn't have to pay? Beit Amiyat v'Yosef, a house that is populated lasts. When someone's living in the house, they see that there's a leak starting, or they see a crack in a wall, and they repair things. If a house is deserted, nobody knows that the leak was starting, nobody knows that the walls are cracking, the whole thing falls down. Things don't get repaired. So, Maibinai, what's the difference of the advantage to the landowner being that the squatter is keeping away a demon, or the advantage to the landowner is that a squatter is going to notice what needs to be repaired and he'll repair it? The difference would be to come. If the landowner is using his house or his courtyard for wood and hay, if he's using it for wood and hay already, so then from the perspective of demons, you don't have a problem of demons because the house is not deserted. I mean, it's being used. Okay, not being used regularly, but it's being used. But from the perspective of repairs, there's still a qualitative advantage to a guy actually living in it who sees the cracks right away and repairs them, whereas somebody who's using his property for the wood, he comes in once a month, twice a month to take out wood for the fireplace. So he may not see the problem starting early enough in order to repair them. Could the squatter charge you for the repairs? Probably, yeah. It's giving a benefit. There was a fellow who built this huge palace on a garbage dump that had belonged to orphans. And he was living there without any paying of rent to the orphans. Agver Rav Nachman la padnimine. Rav Nachman grabbed the palace away from him till he would pay the orphans. So Rav Nachman adar b'chatzar chaver shlomi died to tzarach lalus lo sachar. Maybe Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav and Ravuna. The orphans weren't renting out their garbage dump, so they were not losing. And here this guy is gaining, and yet Rav Nachman made the guy pay. He took away the house. So you see that Rav Nachman maybe disagrees with this law that we've had till now, that if one guy benefits but the other one didn't lose, the benefiter doesn't have to pay. So the Gemara says, nope. Hahu meikara karmanai havudai ribei. In this, dump, there were people from this foreign nation, the Karmonaim, living there, you know, like gypsies living there in tents. And they were giving the orphans a little bit of payment for the use of the space for their tents. And now that this guy built a palace, so they lost this income. So it's a zenen. Now this guy benefiting by having a palace, and they were losing. So Nachman told him, Zil Paisinuli Asmi, you know what? Go pay off the orphans for now that you took away their land. Hello, Ashgach, he paid no attention. So Agri of Nachman, La Padnamine. So Rav Nachman seized their palace. He seized the palace from him. Okay, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah discussed, and this is how we got into the question of paying for benefit. The Mishnah says that we have a rule that if an animal damages by eating in a public domain, you're exempt. It doesn't really mean that you're exempt. You're exempt for paying for the food that it ate. But you still need to pay for the benefit that you got. And we saw the benefit that you got could be understood in one of two ways. Maybe it's the fact that you would have otherwise served hay, so you have to pay for the hay. Or it's that if you had a chance to get barley, which is great for an animal, at a cheap price, you would have gotten it at a cheap price. You have to pay two-thirds of the price. Not the full price, but two-thirds of the price. And then the Mishnah said, if the animal eats...
On public property?
Right. So the Mishnah says, to the owner of the produce.
That is a public property.
Right, even so, because you need to pay for the benefit that you got.
Pay to who?
To the owner of the produce that your animal ate. Your animal ate the wheat of Reuven that's in the street. You need to pay Reuven either the cost of hay or two-thirds of the cost of the barley. So the Mishnah said, what's an example of this? If an animal is eating from the street, eating the produce of Reuven that's in the street, then you need to pay Reuven your benefit. If the animal ate from the side of the street, you need to pay Reuven the full cost of the barley. If the animal ate from the entrance to the store, you need to pay Reuven the benefit you got. If the animal ate from inside of the store, then you need to pay Reuven the full value of what your animal ate from him, because that's already Chatzar and Izak, the courtyard of the one who was damaged. That's what we learned in the Mishnah.
That's shame,
correct? Correct. This is the damager of shame. So Amara. So the Mishnah said, Ketzim Mishalamis Mashinahanis. If it ate from the street, it pays for the benefit. If it ate from the sides of the street, it pays the full damage. Amarav, Rav said this law that if it ate from the sides of the street, it pays the full damage, is even b'machazeres. Even if the animal is walking in the street, its body is in the street, but it turned its head to the side of the street, it would already pay full damage. Shmuel said, no. Shmuel said, afilu mechazeres, nami potter. If it turns its head and it eats from the sides of the street, you don't have to pay the full damage, you only pay for the benefit. So the Shmuel, hechi mishkachas la demachayik. So according to Shmuel, when's the case when the animal is eating and it pays the full cost of what it ate? If it walked out of the street and it's standing on the sides of the street, the full body is out of the street, then it's considered betoch hatzar and izak in the courtyard of the one damage, and then it pays full damage for what it did. Some taught this lesson of Rav and Shmuel on its own, not on the Mishnah, but on its own. They were discussing an animal walking in the street, but it turns its head to eat from the side of the street. Rav Amar Chayev is at that point, it has to pay full damage. Shmuel Amar Ptura, Shmuel says it's Potter. L'Shmuel, who says that if it turns its head while walking, it doesn't have to pay full damage. What is the case of when it has to pay full damage to Mechaiva? The answer is, if it actually left the street and it's standing with its feet and its head on the sides of the street and it eats fruit that's on the side of the street, then it pays the full damage.
So what is side of the street and what area is it? Is Yechid, Rabin?
That's considered Reshut HaNizak. It's not the domain, not Reshut HaRabin.
Not Reshut.
So you're talking about, Rabbi, if Robin's, let's say, plantation overlaps on the street, are you talking about that part you're talking
no,
about?
No, it's not in the street. It's the off the sides, the sidewalk. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak challenged this idea of Rav, who says that an animal that turns its head and eats from the side of the street has to pay. We learned, the Mishnah goes on, Mipesach HaChanus Mishalemes Mashenehenes. If the animal ate from the front of the store, the doorway of the store, then it only pays its benefit, not to pays the full damage. Now, Hechi Mishkachasla, what's the case of the Mishnah? Pshita b'machzeres. Presumably, the animal's walking and it turns its head to the side of the street and it eats from the front of the store because the store is not in the street. The comment, it says, mashenhenes, mashenhenes, sin mashenhezikalo. It only pays what it benefited, not the damage. So, who most of love umafarikla? He asked the question, but he gave the answer. We're talking about a store, the kaim of bekeren zavis. The store is in the corner. In other words, if you look at the Rashi, you have a big street leading into a small street. And the store is in that corner when you turn from the big street into the smaller street. So when the animal is walking from the larger area into the smaller area, it goes right into the store. And that doesn't have to turn its head to get to the doorway of the store. As it's moving there, it's in the doorway of the store. So if it eats there, it only eats, it only pays for the benefit. There's a turn in Machne Yehuda.
So, but if the animal doesn't get benefit, it just bites and doesn't chew and just destroys.
Then it's carrot.
Okay.
Pays half damage.
It's also carrot, right? Is that what we're saying?
That's the question. Maybe not. It's machlokas. Ikadami, others say, Mechazeres kuliyama lo pliga de chayeves. Everybody agrees what David said. Perhaps everybody agrees that an animal walking the street who turns its head to the side of the street and starts eating from the sides, that's something unusual, and therefore it's Karen and it pays. Maybe the argument between Rav and Shmuel was about something else. A fellow who had his own territory, and in his own territory he put his stuff. But then he said, you know what, my territory, I'm giving it away to the street. My territory now belongs to the street. And the animal walked in there and ate. Vachi Itmar said, this is the way to learn it. Amar Rav, Rav said, Lo Shana El Mechazeres. The law, when she would have to pay, is when she turned her head. Aval Maktza Makom Yerushu Solusha Sarabim. But if I took some of my own domain and gave it over to the public domain, and the animal eats the fruit, Ptura, then the owner of the animal doesn't have to pay for the damage, because it's considered public domain. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Afilu Maktza Makom Yerushu Solusha Sarabim Chayeves. Even if I gave some of my space to the public domain, and now there's fruit there. If the animal ate it, the animal's eating in a public domain. And therefore, I'm sorry, the animal's not eating in a public domain. The animal does have to pay. It's not considered a public domain anymore.
I don't understand Shmuel. It doesn't matter. Even if Reshut HaRabim and she's eating, it's shame. She has to pay whatever she eats.
One second, let's see. The Gemara will explain. So, Lema Bibor, Birshuso, Kamiflugi. Maybe the argument is about the following question. We know that the damager of boar, of pit, only applies in the public domain. So what happens if a person digs a pit in his own yard, and then he makes the yard hefker, he makes the yard ownerless, he makes it public? So what's the halacha? Rav Damar, Rav who says that if I have my own space, and I put my fruits there, then I make my space part of the public domain, if the animal eats those fruits, potter, the owner of the animal doesn't have to pay. Kasavar barber shuso chayiv. He says that if I dug a pit and then I made the area around the pit hefker, I'm responsible. It's all considered public domain. So therefore here too, once I gave some of my space to the public domain, it's all public domain. And it's an animal eating in the public domain where the animal doesn't have to pay. Who Shmuel to Amar Chayiv, but Shmuel who says that the animal does have to pay for eating the fruits. Kasavar Barber Shuso Potter, that if I were to dig a pit and then make the area ownerless, I would be exempt, because we would still consider it not a pit in the public domain. Say it was my pit, it's still my property. So too, I made the field ownerless, but the space where my fruits are, I didn't make ownerless. That's still my fruit, so it's still considered my property. Amalucha Rav will tell you, no, I could tell you Baal in regards to Bor, that Bor Birshuso Potter, that if a person made the area around his pit ownerless and not the pit, he's exempt if an animal falls into the pit, because the pit is not considered in the public domain. It's private property. And nevertheless, even though it's not the public domain, if the animal were to eat there, the animal would be exempt. Shiny Yachad Amar, because he can tell him. The owner of the animal can tell the owner of the fruits. There's a difference between pits and fruits. Once you made your field around the fruits ownerless, so you're not right in putting your fruit right next to where the animals are allowed to walk. What do you expect us to be walking with muzzles next to our animals? And you're going to obligate our animals? You don't have a right to do that, and therefore you're obligated to. Therefore, you don't get reimbursed.
Not just that I have a survey that's saying this is my
original. No, I think it's a survey. There's no fence. People are walking.
Survey is enough.
I think so. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel said, Bialma Bar Birshuso Chayiv. If I have a private yard and I dig in my yard a pit, then I turn around and I say all the area around the pit is Hefker, but the pit itself is not Hefker. And then an animal falls into the pit, even though the pit is my private property, I am chayiv. And nevertheless, if I put fruits in my yard, and then I make the area around the fruits ownerless, if the animal eats it, the owner of the animal is chayiv. Why? Debishlama bor ikolam emar lava daite. You can say in regards to a pit, I'm obligated for the damage that the animal gets, because when the animal is allowed to walk near it, it's in a public domain, and then it's not noticing the pit. So, you know, it was allowed to be there, didn't notice the pit, I should pay for the damage. Elaperos, but in regards to fruit, mikol amemar lava daite, how could the animal not have noticed? It sees it, achazile. And therefore, it's not considered fruit in a public domain. The animal should never have eaten it. I never made that area hefker. And therefore, it has to pay for the damage that it caused. Now the Gemara goes back to the discussion between Rav and Shmuel. An animal walking in the street, and it turns its head. Its body is still in the street, but it turns its head to nibble from the sides of the street. Is that considered Rishus HaRabim, that you only pay for the benefit? Or is that considered Rishus HaNizak, the domain of the one damaged, that you have to pay the full cost?
On Shabbat, we're going according to the book.
On Shabbos, it's not a public domain, the sides of the street. So the Gemara now says, Lema mechazeres tanai. Maybe this question of an animal turning its head, it's a machlokas of the tanaim already. The tanaim that did a braisa ach lemitocha rechava. If the animal eats from the middle of the street, she doesn't pay the full damage. She only pays the benefit it got. Mitzidei rechava, if it ate from the sides of the street, mishalem esmashi izikah, pays the full damage. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, leads to the views of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Lazar remains arko lechol. When it's walking and it turns to eat, that's not normal. Elolahalich, it's normal things to just walk. And therefore, if it turned in an eight, it's chayiv based on keren. So presumably, what's the argument? This is the argument. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lazar, and it's Tanakama. It's the same thing as Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. They're both agreeing that you pay for the damage that's caused by the animal eating off the sides of the street. So what's the argument? Elam Chazer Zika Benai. They must be arguing about this question. When do you pay for the damage off the sides of the street? Maybe only when the animal walked into the sides of the street, or maybe even when the animal turns its head. Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama says, It's normal for the animal to walk and eat from the sides. So therefore, mechazer estam mishalim hashanehenes. If the animal turns its head, it pays for the benefit it got. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, mishalim esmashi yizika. If it turned its head, it's unusual. Therefore, it should pay for the full damage. Lo, the Gemara says, no, the kuli alma mechazer esi kirabi kishmul. They either all agree that when it turns its head, it pays or it doesn't pay. But here the argument is about this pasuk that says you have to pay when the animal consumes in the field of somebody else. Mar Savar, one is of the opinion of Virbis de Acher. If it consumes in the field of someone else, you need to pay. The lo birshus harabim, and not if it's in the public domain. Mar Savar, the other one has something against what we've seen till now. Virbis de Acher, it has to consume in the field of someone else. For lo birshus hamazik. Not in the domain of the damager himself. In other words, if I bring my produce into Gavriel's house and now Gavriel's dog eats my produce, then Gavriel is exempt because I trespassed into his house. But in the public domain, I need to pay according to this point of view. And where it says, there's just a mazik, if I brought my produce into his house, Lema Perach Pirshusi, my boy, I need a pasuk to tell me that he doesn't have to pay. He should say, what are you doing with your food in my house? You're trespassing. Ella, so maybe the argument's not about the question of Shane versus Arab. Everybody agrees Shane in the public domain is exempt from the full damage, but is obligated in the benefit. But the argument was, the Ilfa for Rav Oshia. The questions of Ilfa and Rav Oshia were the argument. We saw earlier, what happens if an animal's walking in the street and it stretches its head and it eats fruit from the back of another animal? Or what happens if an animal's in the street and it jumps up and it eats? So is that considered normal or is that considered mishunah? Is that considered the field of someone else or is that considered the public domain? So those are the questions that they were arguing about. That according to Rebbe Meir, he doesn't agree with Ilfa and Rav Oshia, and he feels it's normal for the animal to eat from the sides of the street, and therefore it only pays for the benefit off the sides, even if it's off the back of another animal, or if it's by jumping. And Rebbe Yossi agrees with Ilfa and Rav Oshia, it's not normal for an animal to eat off the back of another animal, it's not normal for an animal to jump and eat, and if an animal jumped and ate, or it was eating off the back of an animal, it does have to pay. Let's start the next Mishnah. Hakelev v'agdi shekafta mirosh hagag, a dog or a goat that jump off of a roof. The shabru esakelim, and by jumping they break utensils that are in the courtyard next door. Mishalim nezek shalim, you have to pay full damage. Yipnei shein mu'adim, because this is completely anticipated and it's completely assumed that an animal, dogs are going to jump and cause damage. Hakelev shenatul charara, a dog that takes a flaming piece of toast, v'halach lagadish, and he runs with the toast to a hay pile. Achal charara, he eats the toast, v'hidlikas hagadish, and he lights the hay pile on fire. Al charara mishal nezek shalom. For the toast, that shame that's expected, he has to pay the full damage. For the hay pile, al hagadish mishalim chatzi nezek. But for the hay pile, as we've seen, fire is kocho, is the strength of a being, and kocho, the strength of an animal, is tsroros, and for tsroros, you only pay half damage. Says the Gemara, we went to the Mishnah, time of the kaftsu, they jumped, hanaflu, but if they'd fall off of the roof, patri, you wouldn't have to pay, because that's something unexpected. Alma kasavra, so that's an amazing thing. You see the tchilaso bepshia, if you began by being negligent, having a dog on a roof when it's probably going to jump off, the sofa bonus, even if it ended up being something that was out of your control, that it fell, pater, you are exempt, even though you began with being negligent. Tanya Miyachi, you have a brice like that. Akelev agdi, shekoftim rosh agag, v'shar v'sakein, v'shalm nezek shalim. The brice says explicitly, if the dog or goat jump off the roof, you have to pay. But if not, if they fell, turn, you're exempt. Someone says, how could you say that? Hanichal amad amat chelasim v'shiv sofa bonus pater. That works if you agree with such a law. Elman Damer, what about the opinion that says that since he began by being negligent, even though ultimately the damage was caused in a way that was out of his control, he is obligated? Chayef, Samaykel Mem, what's he going to do with the Mishnah? So answer the Gemara. He'll tell you that the Mishnah is talking about going to Makarvi Kelim Lagabe Kotel. This Brisa's talk, I'm sorry, with the Brisa and the Mishnah are talking about where utensils are right next to the wall. Chikavtzi, that when he would jump, Bekvitzlo Nafiole wouldn't fall on them. And therefore, if he fell out of his control, he's exempt. You don't even have a beginning of being negligent in regards to jumping. Thank you.